Hello, and welcome to another podcast from followtheboat.com. Tales, not just from the high seas. We finally cross the border of Egypt and pass into Sudan, one of the poorest and most war-torn countries on this planet. For us, however, its poor economy is made up for by the very rich beauty of nature. The anchorage of Marob is our first taste of real Africa, and within 24 hours we have run-ins with turtles, ospreys, camels, and get this, a dugong. If you'd like to view the complicated entrance and surrounding area of Marob in Google Earth, then set your Latin long, which can be found under tools/options, to degrees and decimal minutes. Then point your cursor to 21 degrees, 50 decimal, 20 north, and 036, 51 decimal, 49 east.
Well, here we are in Marob. Our first anchorage in Sudan, and I have to say it is quite spectacular, isn't it?
It's out of this world. It's like nothing I've ever seen before. It's not how I imagined it would be, and I don't know what to say really, other than that I've never seen so many blues and so many oranges in one place.
I'm more impressed by the mountain ranges that I see in the distance. They're really, really jagged, like someone's cut them out with sharp scissors and some cardboard, and different shades of grey with the different layers of mountains, and it's very windy out there, but that's probably just as well, because I think that sun's pretty hot, isn't it?
Cool, yeah, we've got the sun coming directly onto the back of the boat, so it's shining straight into the cockpit, but it is 3 o'clock, so it'll be going down soon. Yeah, I like the jagged mountains too, but I also like what look like real traditional sand dunes that you see in the films and on the telly. They're in the front. I like those too.
Sand dunes and turquoise seas, as Liz says. And I can even see, funny little, you see the little shrubs over in the distance, yeah, with the flat tops. It reminds me of Philip Pullman's Dark Materials trilogy, where the nurse goes into the other world and meets those funny wheelie people. And that's the kind of land I'd expect them all to live on. Because, well, we have actually seen a car and we've seen two locals in a boat. But really, as we look out across here, there is no sign of civilization at all, is there?
No, there's nothing at all except for us, Mistral with Low on it, and Eeyore coming in behind us. And I don't know if you can see, but I know that the wind is pushing her over, but I wonder if that's the combination of the list as well as the wind, the way she's bending.
Yeah, we all joked when we left Hurghada that Storm Dodger and Eeyore had what we call a list, which is when the boat heels over without the aid of wind. And it's normally due to stowage, or rather too much beer. And I think this is why Graham is desperate always to invite me on board to give me lots of cold beer. But as he comes in, I mean, it was windy anyway, and I was sort of helping Liz. She was driving and I was navigating and telling her always to point the nose into wind, because, well, explain what that channel was like.
It's narrow, it's very deep in the middle, but it's squiggly, so it's got dog legs all the way through it, and on each one there's a sandy corally spit, so you have to be just really, really careful about getting round each dog leg. Wouldn't like to do it in the dark unless I had very, very good waypoints.
Yeah, I mean, we were trying to encourage Tony and Pat to come down from full flight, but I, you know, they made the decision not to, and well, I wouldn't do it. Although I do have to say, we were using Google Earth amongst other things, and Google Earth was spot on. So once again, thumbs up to Google Earth. So yeah, anyway, Sudan, amazing, absolutely amazing. I mean, Egypt's one thing, because it's kind of, it's familiar, Egypt, you know, I've been before and we all know Egypt, but you only ever really knew about Sudan, well, from the news, and as a country that, well, it's not the sort of place you'd visit, is it?
No, it's definitely not the place you'd visit. In fact, anyone I know has been there said don't bother, and of course you've got a lot of strife and civil war going on, but not along the coast here. I understand we're not going to see many people here, and it's likely that we'll just see the odd fishermen, and they're very, very poor here, so if we're able to give them anything, we will. We've got T-shirts, caps and bits and pieces to give out, which we will do. But as yet, completely deserted. Although, it's not deserted when it comes to fish, is it?
No, I was going to allow you the pleasure of telling everyone about the wonderful fishing experience.
I did mention last night that we'd put the most enormous of our Rapala lures out, and I thought that we might catch a great white shark with it, but in fact what we've ended up doing is catching a very large tuna. It's a bigger than Millie, so we... That's Graham. He's wanting to know our depth, and he's coming up alongside us now. Yeah, it was a tuna, and it was £6. A little bit, not quite as big as Millie, but pretty much near there. And it's going to feed us for a week, I think. So we've got that, and we've got the barracuda, so dead happy about that. And maybe barracuda fish cakes tonight, and tuna steaks on a kebab tomorrow. Now we're just watching these guys come in. Coming in quite fast. I think they're going to anchor just alongside us. We've got about 6 metres here. There's somebody on the boat who really appreciates a good piece of tuna.
Look, Millie, look. What's this? Look. Mills. Millie. Look at the fish. Mm. Nice big tuna tail. There we go, Mills, look. Millie. Look at that. I mean, I reckon you could sell that tail in Sainsbury and get a couple of quid for that. And that's just the tail. There's quite a bit of meat on that.
There's not much left of it. She's gone straight for it. She's gnawing immediately at the best bit, all the meat. And by the morning, we know from experience that all will be left at the very tip of the fin and a bit of backbone. Yes, she loves her tuna. She's not the only one.
It is the 21st of January and we are at anchor at Marob. Early morning and we're just watching nature. We've already watched an osprey hover and then dive for fish. We can see herons or some kind of large wading bird over on the shore there, waiting for food. And we just heard on 7.2 that apparently some kind of beast with a large head and whiskers has popped up for air. So we're now all up on deck trying to find this Loch Ness monster. One of the reasons why we're in Marob is that dugongs, which are like a manatee, have been sighted here, and Liz is very, very keen to see one, so we're hoping it might be a dugong, but I'm not sure dugongs have whiskers. I should ask my resident dugong expert. What do they look like, Liz?
They look like great big potatoes. They're much bigger than seals. I can't remember if they have whiskers or not. I think they might have them, but I don't think they're particularly pronounced. They've got a big nose, big fat wide nose, and small eyes, and as I say, sort of potato-y, and very gentle. They're known as sea cows. They eat nothing but seaweed, and they're very shy, but apparently you do see them in the Red Sea, and they're a protected species.
Well, we've got nothing better to do, so we'll just sit up here and drink our tea and coffee and keep an eye out for them. Later on, hopefully, we'll go ashore and don the old walking boots and go for a little hike towards either the sea or some of those mountains that run down the side of the Red Sea. Liz, what's that?
Where?
Over there. I just saw it. I don't think it was a dugong, it was too small. It was a very light brown colour though.
Yeah, brown.
He was swimming this way. He was on the surface of the water. He just popped up. Well, this is very exciting. I think I just saw a dugong, but don't tell Liz. She'll be very upset. I thought dugongs were grey, but I checked with Nigel, who has a book on Eeyore, and he says that actually they are a mottled brown colour. So when Liz said that they look like a potato, they really do look like a potato. And what I saw, I think, was the back of a dugong, having just come up for air, gone back down underwater. Now, you look quite small, so it's possible it might be a mother and a baby. We don't know. You live in hope, don't you? But what a nice way to start your day. You're into a new country and you start the day off with a bit of dugong watching. Well, whilst poor old Liz was down in the galley slaving away, making us a very nice cheese and spring onion omelette, I can confirm that I definitely saw a dugong. I think he's the same one. He's hanging around a reef, which is on the port side of the boat, in between us and land. There's a big reef there. It's obviously his little feeding place, maybe. Very exciting. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon now, and we've invited the others over for barbecued tuna steaks. Didn't happen yesterday, so it's going to happen this afternoon. So we just thought we'd kill a couple of hours and go ashore. In the distance I can see a group of local lads, all with their clobber on, their gowns and headscarves, and I can see them jumping into the water to cool down. That's in the far distance. And then I can see a truck driving past. There's obviously a connecting road between Egypt and Sudan, which runs down the, I'm guessing, the length of the country. But we're going to go ashore and have a little investigate ourselves. Still can't get over that mountain range, though. It is spectacular. It is one of the most impressive vistas I have seen in my life. And I'm going to go and take a closer peek. Right, you ready, Liz?
Yep. I'm going to get my jellies, I think.
Okay. Oh my God. We've just taken the dinghy across the land. This is our first steps on terra firma in Africa that isn't Egypt. We've just stepped onto Sudan, and the first thing Liz has just picked up are two wonderful conch shells in perfect condition. Look at them.
They've got holes in them, look. They've got holes in them there, and there's no animals in them anymore. So I don't know what the law is on taking shells, but I think if there's no animal, that you're fine, you can take them. Not sure what we'd do with them, they're so big.
Yeah, I don't know myself either. I don't know what the law is. Let's go and explore this wonderful landscape.
Look at the colours across there. There's about five different turquoises and blues and azures, and in the distance you've got the sand dunes, which look really yellowy orange against that turquoise azure, and then you've got the sky in a palest sky blue, and then a few fluffy white clouds. It's idyllic.
Lovely soft golden sand, and the sound of the water lapping against the shore. Got Liz walking behind me, commenting on the fact that there are no plastic bottles washed up on the shore here. If this were Egypt, or Haggadah at least, it would be litter strewn. I mean, this is a prime spot for hotels. You know, I imagine if Sudan got its act together, it could really, really very carefully build up quite a strong tourism industry. But to be honest,
I prefer it as it is. It's a bit of a nature reserve, this. So we've seen turtles and we've seen a dugong. We've seen an osprey. Dragonflies, as we come ashore. Conch shells, or conch shells, as Liz calls them. We don't know what the correct pronunciation is for that. But it's... Bird prints.
Little bird prints all over the sand. I wonder what it was.
I think it could have been that heron looking bird, because they're quite big bird prints, aren't they? Very wide steps. And over in the distance, standing on its own, is a flat-topped tree, which is the sort of tree you would associate with the African savanna desert. I'm going to get a photograph of that. This is very, very typically what you would imagine Africa to look like. I use the word Africa very loosely, of course, because it's a very, very big continent. But as a child, when you think of Africa, this is the sort of Africa that I used to think of. How would you describe what you're seeing?
Well, immediately in front of us, it's shale and sand and quite bleak. And then as you look further ahead, there's a sort of flat land like a savanna. Lots of trees. Those, I don't know what they're called, but they are a very distinctive shape with a sort of flat top. And they're all pointing one way. That's the way that the wind has been pushing them as they grow, I suppose. And then in the far distance, you've got really jagged mountains in shades of dark grey through to pale grey in the background. And obviously the seashore on our left.
This is definitely my favourite place I've visited on the rally so far. And I think it's because it's new to me. The terrain... The fact that the other boats have gone, there's only two boats here. Not that I dislike any of the other people on the rally, of course, but it's just that, we're now discovering new land, and it feels like it's the, we're the first people to discover Marib. Of course, many boats have been here before, but it's a wonderful experience. I was talking to Killian last week about his cycle rides that he was doing across Europe, and I asked him which was his favourite country, and he said every time he came to a new country it felt like it was the best one he's visited so far. And I've only been in Sudan for one day, and I have to say it's really impressed me so far, and I hope that it continues to impress, because it's just wonderful. No one else is around except Dugu the Dugong, as Liz has named her. I'm sure Liz's sister-in-law, Dugu, will be very pleased with that.